In eternity past, before anything was created, the eternal, self-existing, ever-existing God formed in Christ his eternal purpose. This purpose is based on God's will, that is what God wants, and the desire of God's heart, that is what will bring joy and delight to God himself. So in eternity, before the universe existed, we know from Ephesians 3, God made his purpose in Christ. From Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, we learn, and this is still in eternity past, God chose us to be holy. That is, to be the same as God in his nature. And God predestinated us in Christ unto sonship. That is to have the life and position of a son for God's expression. This choosing us to be holy and predestinating us to be sonship is reflected in the New Jerusalem, the holy city. And this holy city is a corporate person called the wife, the bride of the Lamb. And this city, this corporate person, is the totality of the divine sonship. What I'm trying to say is that in eternity past, God made a plan to have a corporate expression of himself that would stand forever in eternity future. And for this, he created space and time when he created the universe with our solar system and our little planet. Then he created us in his image to express him and with his authority to represent him. This means that time, our life in time, is measured out by God for his eternal purpose. Nothing in time is an end in itself from God's point of view. Nothing in time lasts. Only what is accomplished in us during the brief time we are on earth, only that which is related to God's eternal purpose, only that will stand for eternity. A few years ago, Susan, my wife, who is with the Lord, as you know, we had a very meaningful conversation. Not sad, not serious, but thoughtful. And we realized that as those that were not young, eventually death will end the marriage relationship. But we had the assurance that during the course of our long marriage, something divine and eternal had been taking place, not between us as man and woman, husband and wife, but between us as fellow members of the body of Christ. So what is created for time ends in time. But what is accomplished in time for God's eternal purpose will endure as part of the New Jerusalem in the new heaven and the new earth. So you'll see as the message unfolds, the Spirit wants to enlighten us and supply us so that each one of us would present ourselves to the Lord unconditionally, that He, our Lord, our Savior, our life, would be free to accomplish in us and do in us whatever He wants for the fulfillment of His heart's desire. So that when we reach the end, we may have the sense, as we can have only at the end, I finished my course. My life was not in vain. I lived in time for eternity. So once God had formed His eternal purpose and created the universe in space and time, and after He created us in His image, then He began to work in time on earth, in ages we call dispensations, to fulfill His purpose. There was the age from creation until the giving of the law. Then the age from the giving of the law until the Lord Jesus came, the age of law. Now we are in the age of the church, the age of grace, which is also the age of mystery. Because hidden mysterious things are taking place by grace and in the church. I believe the heavens will bear witness that we this morning are very close to the end of this age. But the age will not end until the Lord has accomplished what He determined to do in this age. Then the age will turn, the Lord will come back, the enemy will be bound, war will cease, human government finally will be dealt with, and the kingdom of glory will be manifested. It is very easy for the sovereign God to arrange outward environments. He is well able, according to His wisdom, to put this or that person in the Oval Office, or this, do this or that with Great Britain or England regarding the European Union. He can reconfigure the geopolitical situation of the earth so easily. But for Him to have what He wants for the accomplishment of His eternal purpose is quite challenging. The Lord Jesus will come back secretly as the bridegroom. This secret coming will precede by about 3.5 years His open coming as the Son of Righteousness and the glorious King to possess the earth. The Lord will not come, and He cannot come as the bridegroom until and unless the bride has made herself ready. In the eyes of God, the most crucial matters are not what may be happening outwardly, the results of this or that election. What matters to him right this very moment as he's ministering in the heavens is the bride. Is she making herself ready? Do I have a way to carry out what's in my heart? So now we're gradually focusing on the matter of the church. In Matthew 16, after he arranged for the apostles to receive from the Father the revelation concerning himself, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he declared, "I will build my church." One of the most significant statements ever uttered by a human being on the earth. I will build my church. And we are in the age of the building up of his church. The church in Matthew 16 is the universal church, the one body of Christ, transcending space and time and including all believers. This is his goal. He calls it my church. Then in Matthew 18, the Lord talks about a shepherd seeking a lost sheep, about the way to restore fellowship with a brother. And in that context, when a matter has to go beyond just the fellowship of a few, he says, tell it to the church. There's something he calls the church, composed of people in space and time. You can go to the representatives of the church and talk to them. So surely there must be a connection between my church in Matthew 16 and the church in Matthew 18. My church is the universal church, the body of Christ, consummating as the New Jerusalem. The church is one of the very many local churches established in localities on the earth. Now, here is a crucial point. God's arrangement is that my church will be built up through the churches. The goal is to build up the church as the body of Christ, which body, when the Lord comes, will be his bride. That is the goal. I believe that is the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. There was joy set before him as he was suffering in agony there. But this glorious purpose of building up the Lord's church requires a procedure. The local churches are the procedure through which the Lord will gain the reality of the body of Christ, which reality will be the bride for whom the bridegroom is coming. in a conference called The Practical Points Concerning Blending, given 22 and a half years ago, Brother Lee pointed out emphatically, the goal is the body, the reality of the body. The local churches are not the goal. The local churches are the procedure. Now, for three messages, we have been considering local churches. Ephesus, Sardis, and Philadelphia. These were actual local churches in the first century. They are also used by the Lord in Revelation as signs of future stages of the church. And when the Lord speaks to the messengers of those churches, he directly addresses certain important matters. When he comes to Philadelphia, he can say some unique things. He can say only to her, "I come quickly." He says only about her, "They, the opposers, will know that I have loved you." Everything written in that epistle to Philadelphia is positive. You love the brothers. And the term brothers includes male and female believers, just as the term bride includes female and male believers. You love the brothers. There's no hierarchy. There's no inferior or superior. We're all brothers. You have a little power, but the Lord is satisfied with what we do with the little power. He says, "You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Hold fast your crown." Philadelphia, signifying the church in recovery. The church the Lord is recovering now. Wanting to recover all over the earth now. I believe there will be a time when we'll come together for a major feast, maybe 5,000 saints at a semi-annual training, maybe 25,000 saints at the conference we have every 3 years in Taipei. I do believe there will be the realization. Outwardly, we differ in culture, language, race, so many things, but we are all Philadelphia. We love the brothers. We love one another. We take no name other than the name of the Lord Jesus. We keep his word. Now, we may understandably think that this is it. If the Lord has Philadelphia, that's it. Please remember, the local churches are a procedure. They're not the end. Philadelphia is not the end. Now I'm introducing something that will be emphasized more at the conclusion of the message. It's understandable that when a church leaves its first love and is heading toward degradation, the Lord would call for overcomers to conquer that negative situation. It's understandable that if the churches are suffering, the Lord would call for overcomers who would be faithful unto death. It makes sense that when a church is now in union with the world, the Lord would call for overcomers to go inwardly into the Holy of Holies and eat the hidden manna. The same with Thyatira, the apostate church, and Sardis, dead, Laodicea, lukewarm. In five of these six churches, there are negative things in the churches needing to be overcome. But in Philadelphia, there are no negative things. Why then does the Lord call for overcomers in the church in Philadelphia? Which he clearly does. He speaks along the same line to him who overcomes, even in Philadelphia, implying that not everyone in Philadelphia, in that marvelous church, is overcoming in the way that the Lord will now speak of overcoming. So we need our concept and understanding of overcoming to be enlarged. And as it's being enlarged, we will actually be matching what Brother Lee shared more than 20 years ago. But he knew it will take us time to see things. He sowed unto the Spirit. Overcomers do three main things. They overcome the degradation of the church. They build up the body of Christ. And they consummate the new Jerusalem. Consider those who return to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon. The first waves. Surely by returning to Jerusalem, they overcame Babylon. But now they're in Jerusalem. What are they supposed to do? Just start farming? Just enjoy a good human life? They are to build the temple. That is the positive side of their overcoming. Not just come out, not just come back. The coming out, the coming back are for the building. Well, in Philadelphia, the church that the Lord loves and praises, he at last has the best procedure through which to carry out his will. So Philadelphia has overcome the loss of the first love, the union with the world, the clergy-laity system. Any heretical teachings. We've overcome divisions. Now, what does the Lord want to produce through Philadelphia? Well, we read Revelation 3:12. He wants believers in the local churches who are becoming pillars in the temple of God, which temple is the New Jerusalem. He wants believers in the church in Philadelphia upon whom God's name is written. That is, they have become God in life, nature, constitution, and expression but of course, not in the Godhead, not as an object of worship. He also wants believers on whom, on whom the name of the New Jerusalem is written. That means they have become the New Jerusalem. That's why they're designated New Jerusalem. Then the Lord said, I will write my new name on this one. This indicates that some in Philadelphia, although everything is positive, some are not only loving the brothers, honoring the Lord's name, keeping his word, holding fast what they have. Some are governed by a vision. Why did the Lord recover such a church life? Why did he go through so much with brothers and sisters paying a tremendous price to have the recovery of local churches all over the earth? What does he want? In the early years, in the 1960s, we were young, we didn't know anything. So we could just sing, we'll stand right here till Jesus comes, standing on the local ground. Well, that's a good beginning. But the bridegroom is not coming back for a million people just standing on the local ground. Something has to actually happen in the beings, in the hearts of brothers and sisters. They're not only enjoying Philadelphia as an end in itself. That's a mistake. Even Philadelphia is a local church as the procedure. So the overcomers know this. They have allowed the vision brought by the ministry of the age to penetrate them, to govern them, to direct them, to motivate them, to empower them. And now each one personally becomes clear. The Lord saved me, he regenerated me, he brought me into the church life. Now I'm in a genuine local church, church in recovery, and the goal is that my church life and Christian life would contribute to the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose right here and right now. The very fact that the Lord calls for overcomers in Philadelphia indicates that not everyone in Philadelphia will become God, will become the New Jerusalem, and will become Christ. It's not that they become degraded, because Philadelphia is recovered. I think it's because even though they're here with the Lord's name and his word and the brothers, their being is not consumed by the central vision, the high peak of why I'm here. I'm burdened beyond utterance. I wish thousands and thousands of saints could echo my saying, I know why I'm alive this morning. I breathe for this purpose. Everything in my life, even death itself, everything is part of the environment so that this one brother could open to the Lord and live in a way that his life is a contribution
to the fulfillment of God's purpose. There is a direct connection between the church in Philadelphia, the church in recovery, and the New Jerusalem. The connection is revealed in Revelation 3:12, and it's that the overcomers in that church, while they're living out that most precious church life, inwardly and intrinsically are in a process of becoming. Day by day, they are becoming the same as God in life and nature and expression. So the Lord will write the name God. They are becoming constituted with the riches of Christ. So the Lord will write upon those ones his new name. And they are becoming the city of God, which descends out of heaven from God, the New Jerusalem. And this is what it comes down to. And I'm referring now only to us in the local churches who are praying and aspiring to be truly the church in recovery. I'm talking only to us. The process I've been describing either happens in us or it doesn't happen. Just being here outwardly does not in itself guarantee that this inward process is taking place. For this inward process to take place, we need what is revealed in this outline concerning the consummation of the central vision of God's economy and of the high peak of the divine revelation through the overcomers, that consummation being the New Jerusalem. I say again, because this may be fresh, the church in Philadelphia is the bridge from time to eternity. When the Lord has the overcomers in Philadelphia, he will be able to say they represent the whole church. They have built up my church. They have built up my body. Now they will become my bride. So the Lord will return. And the millennial kingdom will be the New Jerusalem in its first stage of manifestation. And those who became the New Jerusalem in Philadelphia will be manifested as the New Jerusalem in the millennium. All the dear believers who did not develop in this way will become the same as God, the same as Christ, and the New Jerusalem during the millennium. At the end of which, there'll be a new heaven and the new earth, and we will all be the same, the consummate New Jerusalem. I've never had a greater sense of meaning in my life than I do now. Amen. The meaning of my human life, of everything that has taken place at this moment, of my whole Christian life, my church life. It's to be part of this with my brothers whom I love. I'm not special. I'm not different. I'm not unique. I'm just a brother. John said in Revelation 1. And I'm burdened first for the Lord's sake. I want him to come back. I want this age to end. Amen. I want the kingdom to come. But everything hinges on the preparation of the bride. Now let me add this, and then we'll go through the outline. The name New Jerusalem is written on the overcomer in Philadelphia, indicating the overcomer has become part of the New Jerusalem. According to the book of Revelation, what is the primary designation of the New Jerusalem? What did the angel say to John? He said, come here. I will show you the wife, the bride of the Lamb. He actually didn't say, I will show you the New Jerusalem. He said, I want you to see the wife, the bride. So he was carried away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and he saw New Jerusalem. The primary designation of the New Jerusalem is the bride, the wife. Does this not mean that to become the New Jerusalem in Philadelphia is to become the bride? Your church life in Philadelphia involves a process of becoming the bride for whom the bridegroom is yearning to come back. Now, in me, everything now intersects. Everything's coming together. The local church, the recovered church, the central vision, the high peak, organic salvation, the coming of the Lord, the preparation of the bride, the end of this age. It's all coming together right here in the recovered church. The Lord at last has the best opportunity to fulfill what's in his heart. May the Lord grant a particular mercy to us, that we won't repeat the tragic history of the brethren and become Philadelphia. May the Lord, and become Laodicea, sorry. May the Lord grant us the mercy to hold fast what we have unto the end and to become the New Jerusalem in our church life. Point one, the central vision of God's economy is the experience of Christ as life for the producing and building up of the church as the body of Christ. So when you have the Holy Word for Morning Revival based upon the last elders' training, you will see there's a whole outline section developing this. But we have a shortened version now. There's a central vision, Christ as life, for the building up of the church is the body of Christ. Then the high peak of the divine revelation is that God became man so that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, to produce and build up the organic body of Christ for the fulfillment of God's economy, to close this age and bring Christ back to set up his kingdom. If this thought is new to you and somewhat startling, the thought of our becoming God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, I can't take much time now, but I give one line of clarification. Have you ever been to a wedding where the bridegroom did not marry a human female who matched him? You've never been in a wedding where the bride was less human than the bridegroom. Did not have a human life, did not have a human nature, did not have a human expression. When God created a counterpart for the first man, he could say, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now our Lord will have a bride, a wife. How can he marry someone who is not the same as he is in life, nature, constitution, and expression? The bride will never have the Godhead, but she has to match the bridegroom. To me, it's so logical and so clear. So that is why, if we're to become the bride, we need to experience this high peak of the divine revelation by becoming divine in life, nature, and expression, knowing that we'll never be God in the Godhead. I'm becoming God in life and nature, but I'm only here now in Seattle. I'm not even in Bellevue. But God is omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. Omnipresent. We'll never be that. We know that. And so we should be determined that as we're going through our human life, no matter what is happening, and everything can happen, anything can happen. And as we are living our church life, what is deep in my heart for you all out of love for you is that in the midst of everything and anything, our being remains open so that every day God can gain us a little more. Amen. We just remain open. Now we have a section on how the New Jerusalem consummates this central vision of God's economy and the high peak of the divine revelation. And this is the New Jerusalem we may become in our church life. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate consummation of the Bible. It involves God becoming man and man becoming God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. The Godhead never changes. But in God's economy, God in Christ went through a process to make himself one with us. And in his salvation, he leads us through a process of becoming one with him. So he became human so he could be one with us. He's making us divine in the sense we are describing so that we can be one with him. So he became divinely human, and we're becoming humanly divine. This makes the union possible. Key B, the New Jerusalem is the corporate God-man. The enlargement, expansion, and expression of God, the corporate God. I admit the expression corporate God is quite remarkable. We're not talking about the Godhead. No one has ever added to the Godhead. But in God's economy, when God in Christ enters into millions of people and makes them his children, that is the enlargement of God in the sense that God is increasing in us, not in himself. And when you put all of us together, we're the corporate Christ, the corporate God in this sense. But the unique Godhead remains unchanged. We will never enter that. We'll never be part of that. Now, C is to me a very precious section in particular. The New Jerusalem is the real and consummate Shulamite, a corporate Shulamite, including all of God's chosen and redeemed people. And this whole section is based on Song of Songs. And the name Shulamite is from Song of Songs 6:13. And now this designation is given to the lover of Christ as the beloved. Song of Songs tells us in poetry the story of a divine romance between an individual believer and Christ the beloved. The New Jerusalem is the bride. Surely the most crucial matter in becoming the bride is the development of the love of the bride for the bridegroom. This is why the loss of the first love is so devastating, because it severs us from this connection. Now we're doing so many things, but the love is gone. The works continue, but they're not the first works. They're not motivated by love. But in Song of Songs, chapter 7, the Shulamite says to her beloved, "Come, my beloved, let us rise up early for the vineyards. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us rise up to see if the vine has budded, the pomegranate is in bloom. There I will give you my love." So she's actively working on building up the body of Christ. She says to him, "Let's go forth, let's visit the churches, let's care for the saints. While we're doing all of that, right then and there, I will love you." This is the first love expressed as the first works. So what needs to be happening in us personally is that we are going through all the stages of the development of love portrayed in Song of Songs. And, okay, briefly, I'll be a little personal, but not overly personal. Okay. There is a verse in Song of Songs that is now a crucial verse for me and for one other person. And that verse is Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "Love is as strong as death." Then it's likened to a flame of Jehovah burning in our being, reminiscent of Hymn 208. "I love thee so, I know not how my transports to control. Thy love is like a burning fire within my very soul." Another stanza, "Burn, burn, O love, within my heart. Burn fiercely night and day till all the dross of earthly loves is burned and burned away." So earlier this year, I met death at close range. And through the supply of the body, experienced the resurrection life that reigns over death. But still, on a human level, I need to pass through the process of loss like anybody else. Then at the time appointed by the sovereign God, in the course of a very brief encounter, he ignited in me and in a sister born in Kazakhstan and is a Russian citizen, he ignited a love that is as strong as death. And now for the first time, this level of love in Song of Songs is real in me. The Lord used this developing situation. But even that is not the end. This is happening so that you too would know love in this way. And now you too, you pray that hundreds of young couples will know this kind of relationship. And you pray that this burning love will be ignited in thousands of saints. And I testify from the verse, many waters cannot quench love, nor do floods drown it. This will be the Shulamite's love. In chapter 8, her only longing is to see him in rapture. Do you realize Song of Songs begins and ends with kisses? You men brothers better get used to this. You're going to be part of the wife. Chapter 1, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Chapter 8, now she's speaking. Oh, if I found you outside, that is outside of the flesh in rapture, I will kiss you. I have no idea what that hour sweet will be like when bride and bridegroom meet. But I don't think the Lord will be there just as a gentleman and say, hello, I'd like to introduce myself. I am the Lord Jesus. The Song of Songs is a picture. There's going to be a marvelous, holy, humanly divine, divinely human expression of love that the universe has never seen. Amen. I want to be part of that. Amen. So do you. So we need this section on becoming the Shulamite. One says, the Shulamite, the duplication of Solomon, is the ultimate figure of the New Jerusalem as the counterpart of Christ. So, Keith, the important thing is that you're somewhere in Song of Songs. And when the Lord speaks in love to us, he can say whatever he needs to say, and we're not bothered. So he can say, oh, my love, you're a horse. And she doesn't say, And she would admit, I love you. I admit, I'm just full of natural energy. Thank you for letting me know where I am. Then later he comes and says, hi, Lily. You're a lily among thorns. This world is full of thorns, but when I see you, you're a precious lily. And your eyes are like doves. I pay attention to your eyes. Then later he says, you're my dove. Then there's a long period of silence. And then she emerges as a pillar, as one of the mighty men guarding her beloved's rest, as a palanquin, as a garden. as the heavenly bodies. Then he says, oh, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, as lovely as Jerusalem. You're beautiful to me, and you terrify the enemy. That's when she becomes Shulamite. Okay? It's very normal for all of us during our lifetime to go from horse to Shulamite. Amen. Don't think that you are so difficult that the Lord can't do this in you. He knew what he was taking on when he came into you. He's very good at changing horses into Shulamites. And it's a wonderful, delightful process. And it's all rooted in love, the first love. And we go from stage to stage. To the Shulamites, as Solomon's counterpart, the Shulamite became the same as Solomon in life, nature, and image as Eve to Adam. This signifies that the lover of Christ becomes the same as he is in life, nature, and image to match him for their marriage. The many lovers of Christ eventually will become duplications of God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. This is the fulfillment of God becoming man, so that man may become God, which is the high peak of the divine revelation. I'm illustrating again. I admit there's a personal element, but I love you all. This is a family matter. And so if there's good news, I'd like you to know some of the good news. So when Tanya, who was serving full time in Moscow, was in a meeting with the co-workers and serving ones, she had the leading to make it known now to everyone in the Russian-speaking world that she is engaged to Brother Ron Kangas, okay? And after that, one of the co-workers, whom I know, wrote me a brief email after he and his wife got to hear something of the story. And I'm divulging something, but I'm really illustrating, as you'll see. He said, praise the Lord for this wonderful and perfect arrangement. He said, the match. Okay. This is just a human, ephemeral, that is temporary situation. The whole universe on that day will say, what a match. Whoa. Here's the bridegroom, this indescribably wonderful person, and she matches him. Point after point after point. She matches him. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Reject his accusations based upon the blood of Jesus. You are bound to become a Shulamite. So since that's your destiny, why not allow it to happen right now? And believe that it can happen right here. Three, the wife of Christ and Christ will be joined together to be the new Jerusalem for God's expression. This is the consummated Shulamite. So in Philadelphia, see, why do we love the brothers? How can we love the brothers? The answer is in 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. So we all need to experience more the Lord's direct personal love for us. Don't be ashamed to ask for this. Some of us are desperately in need of this. We love, not just love God, we love, period, because he first loved us. So we love the Lord because he first loved us. We love the brothers because he first loved us. We love human beings. I mean all human beings, without partiality, because he loved us. This is the key. That's why I say again, you look back at Ephesus. The Lord began there. That was the beginning of degradation. You abandoned your first love. Once you lose that, then it's a precipitous fall all the way to apostasy. But the recovery of the first love eventually will issue in Philadelphia, where we love the brothers, and now we're in the best atmosphere for the nurturing of our bridal love for the bridegroom. As you know, through the Lord's ministry, the truths revealed to the Lord's recovery are profound in height and depth. But actually, our life practices are very simple. Like some of Brother Lee's last words, Lord, I love you. I really love you. Without you, life's really nothing. So when it comes to our loving relationship with the Lord, we're not complicated. We're simple. We just pray, let him kiss me. And when I see you, I'm going to kiss you back. Lord, I love you. I open my being to you. I can share anything with you that's going on in me. I hold nothing back from you. And he would indicate, I am absolutely for you. Nothing will ever separate you from my love for you. Love is the motivation for all I'm doing in you. Please let me work myself into you to make you my match, my counterpart. KD, the New Jerusalem is the universal golden lampstand, the ultimate consummation of the lampstands in the scriptures. So the seven churches are golden lampstands as the procedure. The New Jerusalem as the consummate golden lampstand is the goal. Now, how do we know New Jerusalem is a golden lampstand? Okay, let's study the data in the text. Okay, if you examine all the details, the city really is a mountain. And the whole city, that is the whole mountain, is pure gold. So now we have a golden mountain, okay? Then on the top is a lamp, L-A-M-P, and the L-A-M-B, the lamb, is the lamp. And in the lamp is God as the light. So now you have light in a lamp on a golden mountain as a lampstand, and this light is shining throughout the new heaven and the new earth. That is the ultimate, consummate, universal golden lampstand. But in this age, the lampstands are the churches. So we need to become the reality of the golden lampstand in Philadelphia as part of becoming the New Jerusalem as the ultimate lampstand. Okay, one, the churches as golden lampstands will be consummated in the New Jerusalem, the aggregate of all the lampstands. The New Jerusalem, a mountain of gold, is the universal golden lampstand holding the Lamb as the lamp, shining out God as the light. The New Jerusalem, the aggregate of all the lampstands, the totality of today's lampstand, is a consummate, universal, golden lampstand to shine forth God's glory in the new heaven and the new earth for eternity. So surely in Philadelphia, if we are becoming the New Jerusalem, which city is a golden lampstand, We will have more gold, more of the divine nature, more of the form that is the image of Christ, more of the lamps shining, and the more light. We will become light. That's part of our becoming God. We'll become light. In John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. In Matthew 5, he said, you are the light of the world. So is the Lord the light of the world, or are we the light of the world? The answer is yes. So let us learn to love the light, to come to the light, to walk together in the light, to have real, genuine fellowship with one another. 4, the golden lampstand signifies the triune God embodied and expressed. And the more we experience the aspects of the triune God depicted in the lampstand, the more we will be in reality the golden lampstand as the embodiment and expression of the triune God, and thus become the New Jerusalem as the universal golden lampstand. Now, as I'm drawing this to a conclusion in about 10 minutes, giving much time for you to respond, I want to assert something, and I want to say something to shut the enemy's mouth. Christ's full ministry is in 3 stages. When he was on earth, he was in the stage of incarnation to accomplish redemption. Then in resurrection, he entered the stage of inclusion, his heavenly ministry. But in Revelation, Christ's ministry is in the stage of intensification, which involves the intensification of every aspect of the all-inclusive spirit. One of the main things the Lord is doing right now is producing overcomers. He knows 2 or 3 things for sure. He knows, as he himself revealed, that he is the overcomer. Revelation 3:21, I overcame. Revelation 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. He is the overcomer. He also knows that we in ourselves, at best, are undergoers. We're not overcomers. We cannot make ourselves overcomers. We just can't. And we don't. But the Lord in his ministry is producing overcomers by reproducing himself as the overcomer in us. That is the way we can become overcomers. We need to make the choice, like the hymn says, will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice? We need to make a choice. Lord, I choose to be a victor. I don't choose to be defeated. But I cannot by willpower make myself an overcomer. But I choose for you to do it. And then I pray. And I've prayed this times beyond counting. Lord, by yourself, as the sevenfold intensified spirit, make me an overcomer to conquer the degradation of the church, to build up the body of Christ, and to consummate the New Jerusalem. Just ask him. It's that simple. Do you want to be an overcomer? Tell the Lord you want to be an overcomer and ask him to do it. Now, what I want to encounter from the enemy, and especially he levels this at those of us who are not young. We're still here. That means we still have the time we need to make it. Amen. The Lord has the time he needs to produce us as overcomers. When the Lord is operating in you, in his ministry and intensification, I assure you, a great deal can happen in a month. In a year, amazing things can happen. This year is not yet over. According to my inner realization, it's the most significant year in my whole life. Let us look away from our whole history, from our weaknesses, from our failures, from our shortcomings. Let's look away to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. And pray, Lord, for your glory and for the shame of the enemy. Make me an overcomer. Amen. I knew the course of Susan's life from 1963 until 2016. I knew her sufferings. I knew her weaknesses. But I'm glorifying the Lord, not her, and certainly not me. But on the day we all learned that she was terminally ill, Brother Ed Marks and his wife and Brother Benson came to the hospital to be with us. And Brother Ed and his wife were with Susan. Then he came out to me in the hall. He said, and Ed, his discernment is very keen. I respect this. He said, Ron, her whole inner being is full of light. And when she was in the emergency room, being admitted to the hospital, my daughter asked her, Mom, are you ready to meet the Lord? And she said, Becky, my whole life I've been getting ready to meet the Lord. Amen. I am ready. Then I was with her, and I can testify insofar as a human being can. She had a glorious, victorious end. It's how we end, brothers and sisters. Amen. To use a football analogy, the other side, the opposition, may be way ahead at halftime. But I'll take a couple of minutes to tell you the parable of the two-minute drill perfected by John Elway. There's one particular game. The Broncos were behind by two touchdowns. So even loyal fans were leaving the stadium. But then Elway began to conduct the two-minute drill with long passes to receivers right at the sideline. They would go out of the outline to stop the clock. So within less than a minute, they scored, got the extra point. Then they went for an onside kick, which was successful. So now Elway has the ball again, and they go for another touchdown, and they win. Enemy, I don't care how far ahead you are at halftime. You are a loser. Amen. Even if the Lord has to work out the two-minute drill for us, let him do it. Amen. Let him do it. Amen. He'll get all the glory. Amen. We'll be there. We're astounded. We're amazed. Then we declare to the whole universe, my captain, my quarterback, worked out the two-minute drill. Glory be to him. Amen. So I say this to myself. Forget your whole history. Forget your weaknesses. Look away to Jesus. Amen. He is reproducing himself in us. Amen. Now we read and finish the outline. In his ministry in the stage of intensification, Christ as a sevenfold intensified spirit produces the overcomers, who return to the orthodoxy of the church, overcome the degradation of the church, build up the body of Christ, and consummate the New Jerusalem. Because of the degradation of the church, Christ as the life-giving Spirit has been intensified sevenfold to become the seven spirits, the sevenfold intensified life-giving Spirit to produce overcomers. The overcomers are for the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the New Jerusalem. This is their positive function. Without the overcomers, the body of Christ cannot be built up. And unless the body of Christ is built up, Christ cannot come back for his bride. The building up of the body of Christ is by the overcomers, produced by Christ as a sevenfold intensified life-giving Spirit. The building up of the body of Christ by the overcomers in this age is for the initial consummation of the New Jerusalem in the kingdom age, and eventually for the full consummation of the New Jerusalem in the new heaven and new earth. Quote, I will write upon him, the overcomer, the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which descends out of heaven from my God, and my new name. That the name of God, the name of the New Jerusalem, and the name of the Lord are written on the overcomer indicates that what God is, the nature of the New Jerusalem, and the person of the Lord have all been wrought into the overcomer. This is exactly what needs to happen with us in Philadelphia. We are in Philadelphia as the procedure. This is what we want to see happen. Now we know the Lord wants it to happen. So let's just be simple and say, Lord, you want it to happen. I want it to happen. Cause it to happen. Amen. In me and in all my brothers and sisters. Amen. The mentioning of the New Jerusalem as a prize to the overcomer indicates that this promise will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. The New Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom will be a prize only to the overcomers. What the overcomers will be manifestly in the millennium is what they are becoming intrinsically during this present age. So now I hope the matter is somewhat clear. The Lord wants to build up his church. The church, the local church, is the procedure. The enemy did his best to degrade the church, but the Lord has a recovery, and now we are in the church in recovery, Philadelphia. We pray for a full recovery of Philadelphia, that we would maintain the testimony of Philadelphia until the end. And while we are doing this, we allow the Lord to operate in us, to produce us as overcomers, so that when he comes, he'll write the name of God on us. He'll write his name on us, and he'll write New Jerusalem on us, and he'll be able to say, Bride, I'm coming for you. I've loved you for so long. Now is the time of rapture. I'm not a young person, but I have not given up the hope of rapture. Amen. Let's hold on what we have. Amen. Let's open our being to the Lord. Amen. Let's allow him to reproduce himself as the overcomer. Amen. So we will consummate the New Jerusalem, become his bride, and then woo him back. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, as our bridegroom. We are getting ready. Amen. So please pray for someone with someone for a minute, then the brothers will direct our sharing time.